What's up, guys? If I haven't met you before, my name is Ryan Oakes. I am still here. I still serve on the students team. I just don't see you guys as much as I used to at Wake, but I still get to see you guys. And so it is a true pleasure to be back with you all and to continue our series, Summer in the Psalms. Okay, and so I want to start with this question. This is a crowd participation question, so get those hands ready. If you could buy anything you wanted right now, what would it be? Yeah, in the back.
A laptop.
That's totally fair. In the way back. Minecraft on the computer. Yeah, right here.
A dog.
I respect that. Although, you know, sometimes they can be a little much. Yes.
A scholarship.
Totally fair. Totally fair. Yeah, over here.
A bass boat.
Okay. Yeah.
A snake
is an interesting choice. I didn't expect that one, Riley. That's good. He's got a mindset on profit. That's good. That's good. In the chair. You want more money? Buy more money. You can kind of, that's what Riley's trying to do. And last one. A what?
A Porsche?
A car. A Porsche. Yeah, no, that's great. That's a perfect, that's perfect because I too, if I could buy anything today, would buy a car. I would buy a Toyota 4Runner. Any 4Runner fans out there? Yeah, I got a lot of energy over here. That's what I like to see. Guys, I would buy a brand new 4Runner. Mine's a 2008. She's still going strong, but a brand new one really would be something special. She'd be, you know, an off-road one, the TRD. You know, it's white. It's got black rims and some cool tires. I'm that guy. That's what I would do. Yeah, I got some more cheers out there. That's what I would buy today if I could buy whatever I wanted. And here's the thing, guys. All of us want things. For some of you, you might be like me, and you just got a new iPhone. But here's the news. There's going to be another new iPhone in the fall, and probably another one in the fall after that. And honestly, it feels like they release one like every 3 weeks now. But there's always going to be a new iPhone. Some of you may have just gotten a new Xbox or a Nintendo Switch, and that's great. If you want one, get it. But I guarantee you, it won't be the last game console that you want. Some of you might be different. Maybe you wanted the coolest new leggings at Outdoor Voices or Lululemon. Or you want new shoes, you're keeping up with Hoka's, Golden Goose shoes, Vans, Nikes, like you name it. There's all these things out there that we want. Or maybe you're like, no, Ryan, I don't want those things. Maybe it's more personal. Like maybe it's not materialistic, but it's personal in your life. Maybe you want your parents to stop fighting. Maybe you want your brother or your sister to stop bothering you when you don't want to be bothered. Or maybe you wanted to make a certain sports team. Wanted to get a certain position in the band. You know, there are all different types of things that we want. When I was your age, when I finished seventh grade, my parents told me that they were going to get a divorce. And so when I was your age, the thing I wanted most wasn't an iPhone. It wasn't an Xbox. It was for my parents not to get divorced. There's all sorts of different categories of things we want. We want a lot of different things. But here's what I can tell you today. Is that when all you want is God, you will get peace, courage, mercy, because you have a good shepherd. So I don't know if you could tell based on some of the worship we sang today, but we are going to be going through Psalm 23. Okay, it is my hope and prayer today that as we talk through this psalm, you realize that, like, this is a place you can go to. The Psalms are places we can go to in Scripture for comfort, to experience the same things that the psalmist might be feeling, and that you can believe this to be true, that you can believe that you have a good shepherd, even when it's hard to believe that. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Psalm 23 with me, and then bow your heads and let's pray. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for just the opportunity to be here and just enjoy games, enjoy popsicles, have a good time with friends, and laugh and smile, and memorize scripture on stage, learning different hand signals, Lord. It is such a gift and a joy to follow you. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of that truth today. You would remind us that you are a shepherd who is worthy of following, God, and that there is joy when we do that, Lord, that you are trustworthy. Father, I pray that everything set up here would be your words, not mine, Lord, that your glory would be made known. In the name we pray. Amen. Okay, so open up your Bibles. We're going to read through Psalm 23. It's only 6 verses, so bear with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's the truth, guys. We could spend literally an entire series on this psalm. It is amazing, and there's so much to unpack. And I would also tell you, as you guys are learning what it might look like to hide scripture in your heart, to memorize scripture, Psalm 23 is also only 6 verses. It's just as long as Psalm 1, and it is a great psalm to memorize and to study in your own time. So if you're looking for something to read, Psalm 23 is something you can read, guys, because it's an amazing read. And if I'm going to convince you of anything today, I want to remind you guys and remind me that we have a great shepherd who tenderly cares for his sheep. And that's something that I oftentimes forget. And you might be the same way. Or sometimes maybe you're thinking like, I've never doubted that. I've always believed that. Let me remind you of who we are as humans and watch this video. I mean, you can't help but laugh because it's like, surely the sheep knew that the ditch was right there and that he wasn't going to make it. And he jumped too high and not far enough. All right. Like, that is a funny video. I don't know if any of you guys have seen that before, but the first time I saw it, I watched it like 15 times because I couldn't stop laughing. And here's the thing is, while it's a funny video, it's really a picture of how sheep act. And this passage here, it talks about the Lord being our shepherd, right? If we hear the word shepherd, a shepherd automatically implies the word sheep. And the word sheep implies helplessly dependent. They are in need of constant guidance and looking after. And when left to themselves, they're a total disaster. They'll find themselves in a ditch. They'll get pulled out of the ditch, find themselves back in the ditch. Okay? But in this passage, it says the Lord is our shepherd. Right? He's our shepherd. So that would imply that we are his sheep. And if we are the Lord's sheep, then we are helplessly dependent. We are in constant, we are in need of constant guidance and looking after. And when we're left to ourselves, we're a total disaster. We are the sheep in that ditch. That's us. But the good news that you would be reminded of today is that we have a good shepherd. Guys, Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's the truth of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We found ourselves in the ditch. But John 10:11, Jesus tells us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Guys, that's the news we need to hear today. That is the gospel. The reality is, like, we are helplessly dependent sheep who find ourselves in a ditch the moment we are born. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we need a savior. But the reality is, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, and that is what Jesus Christ has done for every single one of us in this room. And that if we choose to believe that Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life, that he died a torturous death on the cross and was raised to life 3 days later, we can be saved. That we can follow him as our shepherd and have a relationship with him. And let me tell you guys, that is the promise of all promises, because if God would satisfy our biggest need in Christ, then he will certainly satisfy all of the lesser things that we might need or want, because we have a good shepherd who tenderly cares for his sheep. So today we're gonna walk through Psalm 23, and I'm just gonna give you three things that you get when all you want is God. So the first thing is this: when all you want is God, the first thing you'll get is peace. Verses 2-3 say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. When all we want is God, we get peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace because his mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. That's what this verse means. When we trust that God is our provider, we experience peace. You see, green pastures, those symbolize life and abundance, right? Green means life and abundance. Pastures means food and nourishment. And still waters means rest and restoration. Some other versions say quiet waters. Okay, and that is what happens when we trust that God is our provider. We have this freedom that we don't have to worry. We really don't. I don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder what's going to happen today because I know that my life is in God's hands. And I have peace. And that's not some mindset that I can always have, but that's why we have Psalm 23 to remind us that when all we want is God, we have peace. And that in Christ we will find life and life abundantly, and every single thing that we could ever desire is completely satisfied in Him. So that's the first thing. The second thing that we get when all we want is God is courage. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When we trust that God is our provider, we can believe the promise that we have the Lord's presence with us. It assures us of His protection. And in this case, it kind of feels like He's talking about protection in times of danger. And I know what you might be thinking is like, well, Ryan, I live in Dallas, Texas. I haven't really, you know, experienced any persecution. I haven't experienced any sort of dangerous situation. But here's what you may have experienced, or I can guarantee you, you will experience, is an opportunity where you are given a chance to speak up for your faith. Whether it's in your classroom, whether it's around your friends, whether it's around people you don't know, you will be given an opportunity to speak up for your faith. And what you will want in that moment is to give in to fear. What you will want in that moment is to think that, I don't know what they're gonna think of me. I might mess up. I don't know if I can say the right thing. I'm gonna give in to this fear. That's what I want to do. But when we trust in God, when He is all that we want, God's opinion outweighs the opinions of others. We can be reminded that when we want God, we can have courage. That we know that God is with us and He will give us everything we would need to do as He would desire. So that's the second thing. First, we have peace. The second thing we can have is courage. The third thing we can have is mercy. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's what I mean when I say mercy. Earlier, you guys heard me say that when I was your age, when I was in seventh grade, the thing I wanted most was for my parents not to get a divorce. Well, here's the reality. My parents got a divorce, okay? And that wasn't what I wanted. It really wasn't, okay? But God used that situation. That summer, they get divorced. I want to get out of the house. I don't want to be home. It's obviously not a very happy situation. And one of my closest friends invited me to camp. It's called TBRM. And I was like, yeah, of course, I want to get out of my house, go to a camp that has a lake and boats and paintball. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I bought a Bible on the way to the camp. And I was like, well, I've got it now. I've got everything I need. I don't know really what it is, but I'm here. And I show up, and that is when I met Christ for the very first time in my life and was saved. In the summer where all I wanted was to get away from the house because God didn't give me what I wanted. I didn't want my parents to get divorced, but God used that situation. He used that to save me. To save me. And not only that, you fast forward to when I'm in 10th grade and my dad uninvited me for my family Christmas. And let me be clear, I didn't want that. I didn't want to be uninvited for my dad's family Christmas, but it happened. Right? It happened. And you know what? God used that in my life. It was in that moment that I realized, like, being a Christian isn't just this profession of faith. Like, I don't just walk around and say, I follow Christ, and then it's like, okay, off to go. I'm good to go. No, it's not that. It's that because of what Jesus did for me, I could have a relationship with my Father in heaven. That's what I'm given the gift of when I trust in Jesus, is to have a relationship with my Father in heaven forever. I mean, come on. Like, those are two moments in my life, two of easily the hardest things I have ever gone through, two things I for sure did not want, but God used them to change my life forever. Forever. That is the Lord's pursuit. That is the Lord's kindness. That is the Lord's provision. That's what we get when all we want is God. So we walk away with anything today. You may want a lot of things. You may want a forerunner. You may want to buy a mansion so you can sell the mansion and then have more money afterwards. But here's the thing that happens. Here's the thing that matters most. When all you want is God, you will get peace, courage, and mercy because you have a good shepherd. And he loves you. He loves you so, so much. So before we break into discussion groups, I want to challenge you guys with this one thing. Remind yourself of this quote. It says that even when you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart. Even when you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart. I couldn't see what God was doing when my parents, you know, made the decision on their own to get divorced. I couldn't see what God was doing when I got uninvited for my dad's family Christmas, but I can trust God's heart. So even when you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart because he's a good shepherd and he loves you. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you for the truth that you are everything we could want. Lord, that in you, we can be fully, completely satisfied. Lord, and that is a gift. That is a treasure, Lord, that when we trust in you, when we trust in your Son, our lives are changed forever. Thank you that we have Psalms like Psalm 23 to remind us of that truth when it's hard to believe, when it's hard to remember that we have a good shepherd who is worthy of our trust. We have scriptures that we can go to, that we can remind ourselves of that truth and trust you more. Lord, I know that we believe, but help us with our unbelief. Help us where we fall short. Lord, help us be sheep that follow our shepherd. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.